the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the
Holy Spirit. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the fundamental things required for human interaction is trust. That may seem like an odd statement in a time when we are constantly being told to be careful, watch for scams, check out everything, basically don't trust anyone. Now, altogether too often, this is good and necessary advice. Scammers are everywhere. And this shouldn't come as a surprise. Not only have all moral standards been jettisoned, but because trust is so central to functioning together. And because trust is so central, it makes it all the easier to use that trust to take advantage of people. Fourth century Rufinus says, in essence, nothing in life can be transacted if there's not a willingness to believe. And that's true, even in our day, if you think about it. Some of it we're so accustomed to, we take for granted, we don't realize how often we're acting on faith. Think of a simple trip to the grocery store. We're trusting that the price posted is what we'll pay. We trust the mechanic to fix what's wrong with our car, on only what's wrong with our car, and to fix it right. We trust the doctor to diagnose and treat things we can barely understand. We trust our leaders to govern us honestly, ideally keeping the promises that they made in exchange for our vote. And it goes without saying that marriage is profoundly based on trust and family life flowing from that. Sure, we sometimes check on things, especially if we have reason to doubt. But it's hardly possible to check every price. Do we write down every item and check it against the register? Do we take our receipt and go back around the store and make sure everything we got charged right? Of course not. Those car repairs. Have we crawled around the car afterwards and checked every part, made sure it was the right part and installed right? Frankly, if we could do that, we probably wouldn't have taken it to the mechanic in the first place. And how can we really even know everything our leaders are doing? And mostly, especially if you take into account all of the things we take for granted, we find people to be faithful to the trust placed in them. Occasionally, the price is wrong. Some mechanics do make mistakes or are dishonest. And altogether, too often, of course, our leaders do let us down. Now, sometimes this mostly faithfulness we see in people may be from integrity. More often, it may be from a fear of the consequences if they get caught. Because the other reality is that many times the trust is broken. Sometimes it is just human weakness. Yeah, sometimes the tag on the shelf is wrong. Not because they're trying to cheat you, but just because mistakes happen. Even the mechanic may have honestly just made a mistake. Or it could, of course, be deceit. Even an honest leader may be prevented from doing what he promised to do because he promised something beyond his power. And yes, sometimes it's just plain old faithlessness. Some stores do cheat. Some mechanics are dishonest, and altogether too many leaders really never meant that promise in the first place. and put a lot of effort into making sure you don't really know what's going on. Our synod still shows the effects of a sense of betrayal of trust from Seminex almost 50 years ago. We had entrusted our seminaries to faithfully teach our future pastors, only to find out that some of that trust had been broken. Our country was changed after Watergate, and we really learned to distrust our government in a way that hadn't really been our American way before that. But nowhere is the harm of broken trust seen more clearly than in families. Broken trust between spouses, broken trust between parents and children. Trust is the foundation of marriage and family. So not only is there so much opportunity for broken trust, where trust has to be so big a part, but when it does happen, the opportunity to do real harm is also greater. And trust can be broken, faithfulness replaced by faithlessness, for more than one reason. Sometimes, yes, it's an explicit breaking of trust. Sometimes simply an inability, due to circumstances or weakness, to live up to what you were counted on for. Sometimes parents learn to phrase things carefully and not make promises that they cannot be sure they will keep. And God teaches us, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Don't say, we will do this or we will do that. Say, if God wills, we will do this or we will do that. One example, of course, is it's a very different thing for a father to walk out on his family than for a father to die of illness. In both places, though, the end result is somewhat the same. He's not there. He's not doing what a father was supposed to do. And it gives us reason to rejoice then at seeing faithfulness in action, to be more appreciative when it is there and not take it for granted. Logan and Clarissa are being faithful toward Isaac today by bringing him to the precious waters of holy baptism. It is their duty as Christian parents, and they have been faithful to that. Even the parents with the best of wills, though, can fall short. Yes, even Logan and Clarissa. We can't put all of our trust in them, because there is only one who is that faithful, absolutely faithful. Only one who never breaks trust, never fails a promise, is always faithful. And so the psalmist says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. It can be uncomfortable words. Who wants to think of their father and mother forsaking them? But there it is. And Israel's history is a history of faithfulness by God, but faithlessness by God's people. Read through their history. Often the refrain is, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. That is to say, he was faithless. He broke faith with God. When Israel stood and said, all these words you proclaim to us, we will do. And then every man did what was right in his own eyes. This was not a good thing. They had turned their backs on God and followed the desires of their own hearts. It even got to the point where they set up idols in God's own temple. They literally set up idols in the temple of God. That's like bringing the mistress into the bedroom while the wife's still there. From Abraham on, Holy Scripture shows us many examples of God's chosen people God's royal priesthood, his holy nation, being faithless. But God was always faithful. Even though he at times had to discipline his wayward people, he never forsook his promises. As often as Israel returned to the Lord her God, he was gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We see God condemn the unbelieving world through the flood, yet according to his great mercy, he preserved believing Noah and his family. We see God drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led his people through the water on dry ground. Through the baptism of his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, he instituted this lavish washing away of sin. And now he has promised to bless Isaac with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him which has been inherited from Adam and which he himself has committed since will be drowned and die. He is now in the holy ark of the Christian church, separated from unbelievers, so that with all believers in God's promise, he will be declared worthy of eternal life. Bringing your children to holy baptism is an act of faith and a faith in the faithfulness of God. You're putting their salvation, their eternal life, all of it, into God's hands. Parents may say, we'll provide clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, and all that you need to support this body and life, and may faithfully do so, even while knowing that they are but humble instruments fulfilling the promises that God himself made, promises of his love and fatherly care. Now, if even these things must be entrusted to God, how much more the eternal things? We bring our children to holy baptism to hear the word, receive the supper, but all this is by faith in God's promises. And that's what today is, Isaac. You have been entrusted to the loving care of the Lord. And the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And though you will daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment, his mercies are new every morning. Great is our sin. Greater is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is your portion, Isaac. And that is all you need and far more than you deserve. At times, your portion will be discipline, because he disciplines those whom he loves. And when he does, when the afflictions of life come at you, wait for him, because the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So great is his steadfast love and mercy that even when we prove faithless to him and to each other, when we turn in repentance to him, he is faithful to his baptismal promises to forgive us. He who is faithful to us, even to unto death, even the death of the cross, who faithfully carried our sins in his own body, who was faithful to his Father's will, even in anguish in the garden, will be faithful to daily and richly forgive our sins and the sins of all believers, even of the ones who have failed you. This is the baptismal life of the Christian. Not a life of one who was baptized as much as a life of one who is baptized. A life lived by faith in the faithful one. A life lived in Christ. For all of God's promises find their yes and amen in him. You are baptized. The promises are for you and your children. Promises of forgiveness, life, salvation, and deliverance from Satan. He who has promised is faithful, and he will do it, who lives and reigns, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God.